Aunt Mellie stayed, too. I grinned.
Ha! Take that.
Steed only had to pay her $200 for that little favor.
Yep, but poor Paxton was throwing up this morning before Daddy took her back home. Daddy had to pull over, and she got sick again. Ain't that right, Paxton?
Isn't that right? Ain't isn't a word, Chloe Cat, I said, attempting to keep my voice still and unaffected. She snapped her fingers and peered up.
Darn it! Why don't I ever remember that?
A quick survey of the area, and I saw Amelia. I went to call for her when my mother said,
Not feeling good, huh?
Don't look in her face.
Yeah, I'm sure it was something I ate last night.
Melanie leaned over and said,
Chloe, sweetheart, will you go find Uncle Trevor? I need him to do me a favor. He's around here somewhere.
Chloe's eyes lit up.
Okay, Grammy, I'll go find him.
Watching her run off, I slid off the stool. A voice stopped me.
Stay, Paxton Lynn Monroe.
Shit. I took in a deep breath and blew it. Act normal. Just be yourself, I chanted to myself.
D'y'all need help?
I asked with a fake grin. They both shook their heads. Melanie crossed her arms and stared.
I knew it. Didn't I tell you a few weeks ago, April?
Huh? You knew what? I asked, as my gaze swung between the two of them.
You called it, Melanie.
What are we talking about? I asked. Raising her eyebrow, my mother said,
Maybe she doesn't know.
I don't know what, I asked.
Oh, that could be.
They turned and started cooking again. I was about to ask them what in the hell they were talking about when I felt Steed's arms wrap around me. He gently placed his hands over my stomach and kissed my neck.
How are you feeling?
He asked in a soft voice.
Okay, I stated, looking suspiciously at our mothers.
I think they know, I whispered. Steed chuckled.
They couldn't possibly.
Spinning around, I motioned to go outside. Once we were off the porch, I started to tell him what Chloe had said and what their reaction was, followed by the whole, I don't think she knows. Steed ran his fingers through his hair.
You think Amelia or Cord said something?
I shook my head.
No, they promised, and I believe they won't spill.
Next thing I knew, Steed was spinning us around.
They're looking out the window. They totally know.
Shit. Do you think they'll keep it a secret? And how? How do they know?
Amelia said you're glowing.
I chuckled. I am not. He cupped my face in his soft, warm hands.
You are.
It could be because I'm engaged to be married to the love of my life. His eyes closed, and I knew he was attempting to get his emotions in check. When he opened them, he looked directly into my eyes.
I know this isn't a do-over. I know we lost a precious child, and there will always be this void in my heart. But part of me thinks I'm the luckiest son of a bitch for getting this second chance with you. I would have been happy with just you saying yes to marrying me. But a baby. Pax, I'm so over the fucking moon, it's not even funny. I feel like God has given me another chance to get this right. When I found out about Chloe, I wasn't happy.
Sadness moved across his face.
I was angry, and I hated Kim for getting pregnant. But then I realized what was at stake. There was no way I was going to lose another baby.
I shook my head. Steed, you never have to explain your love for Chloe. Ever. Everything happened for a reason, and I'm so happy to have her in my life. I can't wait to see her face when we tell her tonight at dinner we're going to get married. The corners of his mouth raised, and I was blown over by that smile. We decided to wait and announce the engagement, even though everyone knew. Chloe didn't, and Steed wanted her with the family when she found out.
I can't wait either.
He glanced back and chuckled.
Want to have fun with them?
I lifted a brow.
What did you have in mind?
Dropping to his knees, he cupped his hands at my stomach and started talking to the baby.
Hey, little one. Your two nosy grandmas are spying on me and Mommy.
My fingers ran through his dark, thick hair. Happiness blossomed in my chest with Steed talking to our child.
Oh, yeah. One more thing. Go easy on Mommy with the whole morning sickness thing.
I chuckled. He gazed up at me.
Are they still watching?
Trying to peek without them seeing me, I covered my mouth and turned away. Melanie and my mother had been hugging each other and jumping up and down.
What?
He asked, standing up and looking.
You think they're happy?
I'd say they are a little happy.
Chapter 41 Steed. To say this Thanksgiving was both the best and weirdest would be an understatement. I was bursting at the seams to tell Chloe about marrying Paxton. My mother and April had calmed down when Paxton and I walked back into the house. I guess they were waiting on us to tell them, because neither of them said a thing. We decided we were going to make them sweat it out for a few weeks, or at least until one of them broke down and asked us. Then you had the whole Tripp, Mitchell, and Corina thing. Tripp had invited Corina over, and she had accepted. Mitchell couldn't keep his eyes off of her, and she did everything she could to avoid looking at him. Even my mother noticed. "What's going on between Mitchell and Corina?" she had asked. With a shrug, I told her she needed to ask Mitchell. No way was I getting dragged into it. But I also couldn't help but notice how she called Corina Tripp's friend. I was sure it was because of the way he'd introduced her. "Mom and Dad, this is my friend Corina. She's from Chicago, and her parents are out of town, so she had nowhere to go." The look on Corina's face was utter embarrassment, and I was waiting for Paxton to kick Tripp in the balls. She didn't need to. Corina did it for her with her own introduction when she made it clear she was friends with Paxton. "Mr. and Mrs. Parker, thank you for the invite. Paxton's told me so many wonderful things about you both." My mother tilted her head. "You know Paxton?" Corina wore a huge smile. "We went to college together, and she asked me to move here to fill the first grade teacher's position." Glaring at Tripp first, my mother then grinned when she looked back at Corina. "Well, we're so happy you could join us, Corina." "Okay, everyone, dinner is served," my mother called out from the kitchen. Walking into the formal dining room, my stomach dropped as I watched Paxton help Chloe set a bowl of mashed potatoes on the table. Chloe stood on a wooden chair, and Paxton handed her the bowl and showed her where to put it. She then high-fived Chloe and pulled her in for a hug. She was going to make an amazing mother. She already was for Chloe, and she had no idea. Chloe was no longer my daughter, but ours. Tripp took a centerpiece from Corina and kissed her lightly on the cheek. Corina had been placing flower centerpieces along the massive pecan table my father had built years ago. It seated 20 when you put the two sleeves in. Dad had said he needed a large table for when all his kids got married. Chloe tugged on my shirt.
"Daddy, I want to sit between you and Paxton. Is that okay?"
I lifted her up and kissed her cheek, making her giggle. "Of course it is, pumpkin." When I put her down, she ran over to Tripp.
"Uncle Tripp, next year I get to shoot the turkey with you."
Tripp dropped to Chloe's level and flashed her a wide grin. "I think that sounds amazing. I had to shoot two this year. I could have used your help." Chloe snapped her fingers and said,
"Dang it."
Tripp laughed and pulled her ponytail before giving her a quick kiss on the tip of her nose. Corina stood off to the side and observed it all. One glance around and I noticed Mitchell at the opposite end of the table. My mother cleared her throat as she carried out the turkey.
"Okay, all the food is on the table, but we have one announcement."
Pulling out my phone, I sent a quick text before looking back up at my mother.
"Steed?"
Standing, I reached behind Chloe and motioned for Paxton to stand. We held hands, and I felt her engagement ring. She'd taken it off before Chloe got home last night and slipped it back on just now. "Paxton and I would like to announce we're getting married." Chloe jumped up in her chair and focused on me. Tears filled her eyes. She turned and looked at Paxton. Holding up the ring, Paxton showed it to Chloe. My heart was in my throat as my daughter wrapped her arms tightly around Paxton. I wasn't surprised she had fallen in love with her so fast, especially with as much time as we had all been spending together. When Chloe pulled back, she was sobbing. That surprised me. Full on sobbing.
"Does this mean you're my mommy now? Oh, please say yes, please, Paxton." It didn't take long for Paxton's eyes to water, but somehow she held it together. She nodded until she could find the words.
Yes, Chloe Cat. I'm going to be your mommy.
Chloe cried even harder and turned to me, throwing herself into a hug. I wasn't sure how to handle her reaction. I knew she would be happy, but I didn't think she would have a meltdown. It made me realize how much my daughter had been longing for a mother figure. She finally let go of me. I used my thumbs to wipe her tears away, my heart aching at the sight of my daughter's tears. Happy or not, they killed me. Pumpkin, I don't want you to cry. She nodded.
I'm just so happy, Daddy. This is the happiest day of my life.
A few chuckles echoed in the room. One quick glance showed my sister, Amelia, crying. Karina was also dabbing at the corners of her eyes, trying her best not to let her tears fall. Across the table, my mother was smiling, but a few tears trickled down her face. My father leaned over and wiped them away before taking her hand in his and kissing the back of it. April was also crying, while David held her to his side. My heart felt like it had seized in my chest. We were home, and my daughter was surrounded by the most amazing people on the planet. I was blessed to have such a family in my life. The doorbell rang. Clearing the frog in my throat, I stated, "That would be my second surprise." Peeking at Paxton, she winked.
Who is it, Daddy?
Chloe asked, wiping the snot from her nose on her shirt. I held up my finger and said, "Hold on. Everyone hold that thought." Rushing out of the formal dining room, I opened the front door. I put my finger to my mouth, but my sister, Waylon, tackle-hugged me.
"I've missed you so much," she said against my neck.
Squeezing her tight, I picked her up and spun her before putting her back down.
"I missed you. Come on, Mama's going to freak the fuck out."
With her hand in mine, I led her to the dining room. Look who I found at the door. Everyone turned and shocked expressions spread over their faces, except for Paxton's. She'd been in on the plan to get Waylon here. My mother stood. She covered her mouth and shook her head. Next to stand was my father.
"Waylon?"
he said with his voice shaking.
"Fucking hell, you're home!"
Amelia cried out as she ran up and threw herself at Waylon. Chloe finally realized it was Waylon and jumped off the chair and rushed over. I stepped back and let everyone take their turn giving our oldest sibling a welcome home hug and kiss. Making my way to Paxton, she grinned.
"When something amazing happens, I say it's the best day of my life. At this rate, I'm going to have hundreds of best days."
I had no idea Chloe was going to break down like that. Paxton looked at me warmly.
"It was beautiful. Raw and real. I don't think I've ever been so moved."
Leaning in, I whispered, "Wait until she finds out about the baby."
Chapter 42 Paxton I walked around the classroom and glanced at all the pictures the kids were coloring. The assignment was to draw one of their Christmas wishes. I was supposed to call it Winter Break, but I couldn't bring myself to be politically correct right now. I was too happy. As I strolled through the classroom, I smiled. If Christmas break was anything like Thanksgiving break, there would be lots of laughter and a few tears of joy. Waylon had stayed only 2 days, much to her family's disappointment. She needed to return back to New York to be with her husband for some charity event that Saturday night. Waylon, Chloe, Amelia, and I all spent Friday in San Antonio, shopping and getting our nails and toes done. It had been a blast, and Chloe had fallen in love with her aunt Waylon, but there was something in Waylon's eyes, the false smile she wore, that had me talking to Steed about it. She didn't seem happy, and even Amelia had noticed it. One of the kids coughing pulled me from my thoughts. Stopping at Timmy's desk, I glanced at his drawing and attempted to keep my chuckle in. It was a picture of him holding Chloe's hand. My heart warmed. Poor kid. He had no clue Steed would never let that wish come true. I had to cover my mouth to keep from laughing at what he was going to do when I told him about this. Walking around the room, I stopped and glanced over Chloe's shoulder. She was deep in thought, as her crayon moved over the paper. It was a picture of an open field. The ranch, I was guessing. Chloe was on a horse with a huge smile on her face, and Seed and I were off to the side. My breath caught in my throat. She had drawn me with a bigger belly, and Steed's hand over the small, round bump. My belly was colored half pink and half blue. I took a few steps back before I regained my composure. There is no way she knows. Steed and I hadn't told anyone I was pregnant, except for Amelia, Cord, and our mothers. And we hadn't actually told our mothers officially. No one else knew. On Christmas Day, we were going to make the announcement. I took another step and peeked at the drawing. Yep, I looked pregnant in it. Why was it half pink and half blue? Then it hit me. Oh, Lord. She was hoping for twins. Twins! I spun around and tried to keep my body from shaking. Why hadn't I thought about twins? My breathing picked up, and I closed my eyes. Deep breath in, deep breath out. In, out. Twins. Oh, Lord.
Miss Monroe, are you okay?
Snapping my eyes open, I looked at little Ricky. Yes, I'm fine. My classroom phone started to ring. I made my way over to it and pushed the thought of twins far from my mind. Very far. This is Kinder, I said with a tearful voice.
Paxton, I'm sending Mrs. Haas to your classroom. I need you to come down to the office.
Mrs. Haas, the vice principal? That couldn't be good. My heart started to race as I watched the door to my classroom open and Mrs. Haas walked in. She gave me a smile, but her eyes told me something was very wrong.
Sure, Mrs. Haas walked in, so I'm on my way.
Hanging up, I called out,
Shave and a haircut. Two bits,
the class said as one. All eyes were on me. Class, I have to run to the office, but Mrs. Haas is here to keep everyone working on their projects. I want you to continue drawing, and when I get back, we'll chat about them. Then it's story time. The kids nodded. Some responded with, Yes, ma'ams. Making my way past Mrs. Haas, she grabbed my wrist and pulled me outside the classroom.
I feel you need a warning about what you're walking into.
Swallowing hard, I said, Okay. Did the school find out I was pregnant? There was no way, unless someone saw me buying the test, or someone at the doctor's office spilled the beans. No, that wasn't it. What if Chloe voiced her thoughts about a baby? Shit.
Chloe's mother is in the office, making a scene.
I stared at her, unsure I had heard correctly. My hands covered my mouth, and dread hit the pit of my stomach.
What?
I've already called Steed, but he didn't answer. I remembered from Chloe's paperwork that the mother was not allowed any contact, so I looked it up and I was right.
I'm so sorry, Paxton. We didn't know what else to do. I wasn't sure y'all wanted a scene with the police.
Dropping my hands to my sides, I took in a deep breath.
No, you did the right thing. I'll be right back.
She nodded and went back to my classroom, disappearing on the other side of the door. I should have been more freaked out, but a part of me was beyond pissed off that the woman had the nerve to show her face at Chloe's school. I took off at a fast pace down the hall, my high heels clicking on the tile floor and my heart pounding in my ears. Walking into the office, Marge, the receptionist, pointed to the conference room Mr. Hines used.
Marge, call Mitchell and tell him what's going on. If you can't get a hold of him, call the police.
Oh, okay, sure, right.
I wasn't sure where in the hell I was getting my balls from, but I pushed the door open and walked in like I freaking owned the room. There she sat, the woman who had been married to Steed, who birthed his child. She was beautiful. Her blonde hair was pulled into a neat bun. Her perfectly done-up makeup was a tad on the heavy side, but she was able to pull it off. Blood-red nails tapped on the conference table, but paused when I walked in. Her eyes moved over me as hate oozed off her body.
Kim, I said with a curt nod.
Her eyes squinted, then opened wide. She was surprised I had used her first name. She also recognized me. Steve had told me he carried a picture of me in his wallet, and she had found it and had threatened to burn it.
You must be the whore who my husband pined over all those years.
Mr. Hines stood, and I held up my hand for him to calm down. I don't know why you're here, but you need to leave before I tell the office to call the police. She lifted a brow.
You're not even going to respond to me calling you a whore?
You were served with a restraining order to stay away from Chloe. Kim stood, trying to intimidate me.
She's my daughter, so back the fuck off, slut.
That will be enough of the name-calling. I'm having Marge call the police.
Mr. Hines stormed out of the conference room. I knew they didn't want to cause a scene, but a parent with a restraining order at the school should have been an immediate phone call to police. That was something I intended on taking up with Mr. Hines. For now, though, I had a bitch to deal with. Leaning my hands on the table, I stared her in the eyes. Let me remind you about how you signed over all of your parental rights to Chloe. You have no rights to her. None. Her eye twitched. He lied to me. The moment I found out that asshole was back in Texas and living on his rich daddy's plantation, I took the first flight out. I want him back, and I want Chloe back. I've changed my mind. I snickered. First off, you twit, it's a ranch, not a plantation. This isn't Gone with the Wind. Second, he doesn't want you, and neither does Chloe. We'll see. I have no intentions of leaving. This woman had made Steed and Chloe's life a miserable hell all those years. Now that she saw money again, her delusional mind thought she could walk back into their lives as if nothing had happened. You know, we used to fuck like rabbits. All the time. It was especially good when I was pregnant. Steed would rub my stomach while pounding in and out of me, telling me how excited he was for the baby. Even though I knew it was a lie, it caused a sharp pain in my chest. What a bitch. I wonder, Paxton, does he fuck you from behind? It seemed to be his favorite position. I've had enough of this crazy-ass lunatic. Walking around the conference table, I made my way toward her. My reaction caught her off guard, and she started to back up. Probably because he couldn't stand to see her face. She gasped and jerked back like I had slapped her. Listen here and listen good, Kim. I dragged her name out like she had mine. He was never yours. He'll never be yours. And if you so much as step within seeing distance of either him or Chloe, I will make sure the rest of your life is spent in prison. As she stood before me speechless, I felt my lady balls growing. A slow smile spread over my face. Did I mention my future brother-in-law is a top law enforcement officer for the state of Texas? I don't know how things are done up in Oregon, but here in Texas, things are handled on a more personal level. Family comes first. Don't fuck with my family. Her eyes widened. Are you threatening me? I don't make threats, Kim. You can bet your fake tits and eyelashes that every single word I say is set in stone. I love Steed and Chloe, and I'd risk my entire life for their happiness. So I suggest you get your skinny ass out of the state of Texas and never come back. Because if you do, I will personally kick your ass all the way to your jail cell. I heard the door open and close about halfway through all of that. Sure, it had been Mr. Hines. I was mentally prepared to get fired, but it was worth it. There was no way this bitch was going to come back into Chloe and Steen's life if I had anything to say about it. Pushing her shoulders back, she glared. This is so not worth it. They're not worth it. Good luck, sweetheart. Grabbing her purse, she stepped around me and stopped. A smirk crossed over her face. Is that Steed's ring on your finger? I smiled. Yes, and I'll let you in on another little secret. I'm also carrying his child. Her mouth went slack, and anger filled her eyes. Then she laughed. Oh, Jesus Christ, that's perfect. Didn't take him long to knock you up. Well, I guess there's no use trying this avenue. Maybe I'll find an oil billionaire here in Texas. She rolled her eyes and huffed. What a waste of 7 years. I hope you enjoy the stretch marks the little fucker will leave behind.
That little brat changed my body, and I'll never get it back to the way it was before I popped her out. Nothing but a waste. Her words stunned me into silence. She pushed past me and walked out the door. I couldn't move, feeling sick to my stomach. I took in a deep, slow breath.
I cannot believe she said that.
Mr. Hines stood there with a horrified look. With my hand on my stomach, I barely said, "She's more vile than I ever imagined." I realized slowly that he had overheard me saying I was pregnant. Our eyes met, and he nodded.
"We'll talk after the break, Paxton."
Shit. She just cost me my job. No, I had when I opened my big mouth and told her I was pregnant. The only thing I could do was nod. I better get back to my classroom. Feeling numb, I headed out of the conference room and through the office. Mitchell and Steed rushed through the front door of the school, causing me to stop. "She's gone," I said. I was all of a sudden so tired. Exhausted, really. The only energy I seemed to have left was quickly fading. Steed studied me, his eyes roaming over my body.
"Are you okay? Do you know what kind of car she was driving?"
Mitchell asked. Shaking my head, I whispered, "No." "It was a BMW. I wrote down the license plate," Marge said.
"Great. I'm going to run it and find her. This bitch is going to jail for violating her restraining order."
Steed never took his eyes off of me, but said to Mitchell,
"Good. I want her in jail, with a clear message to never step foot in Texas again."
I forced a smile. "I'm pretty sure I got the message to her." The room started to feel like it was rocking back and forth. "Steed, I'm not feeling very well."
Chapter 43 Steed. Walking into the room, I fisted my hands when I saw Kim sitting at the table. Mitchell shut the door and stood off to the side.
"You had me fucking arrested?" Kim shouted.
I grinned. "You broke the law. Of course you were going to get arrested." Her eyes flickered back and forth between Mitchell and me.
"You did this on purpose."
"No, you did this. You gave up any right you had to Chloe. I got a restraining order against your ass, and you ignored it."
"You illegally got it."
Laughing, I shook my head. "Think whatever you want, Kim. I'm only going to tell you this once. If you ever set foot back in the state of Texas, I'll make sure you rot in jail." Her brow lifted.
"And how exactly would you do that?"
Placing my hands on the table, I leaned closer. "My parents are one of the richest families in Texas. My brother is a Texas Ranger. If you doubt for one moment that I couldn't make your life a living hell, you're crazy." Her throat bobbed as she swallowed hard. "After you spend the evening here in this nice jail of ours, I expect your ass to be on the next plane out of the state." "Don't test me, Kim. I've put up with your shit for too long." Her eyes narrowed into two thin slits.
"I cannot even begin to tell you how much I hate you."
I moved closer, causing her to lean back. "Back at you, Kim." After I poured a mug of coffee, I ran my fingers through my hair and stared out the kitchen window. A heaviness filled my chest, and I tried like hell to push it away. My mind had been racing all afternoon and evening. It had taken everything out of me not to lose my shit on Kim. I couldn't believe she had the fucking nerve to go to Chloe's school. Did she really think they would just hand her over? Of course she did. She never once dropped off Chloe or picked her up from daycare. Kim had no idea how any of it worked because she left it all up to me. The one time she took Chloe to a play date, she forgot to pick her up, and they had to call me to come get her. I was glad Mitchell had arrested her. I wish I could be a fly on the wall when she was sitting in that cell tonight. Chuckling, I shook my head and rubbed the back of my neck. What an idiot.
"Hey, how's Paxton?"
Amelia asked while walking into my kitchen. "I didn't even hear you come in." She grinned.
"Yeah, I kind of snuck in. I wasn't sure if you'd be sleeping or not."
The tension in my neck increased, and I found myself rubbing it again. Paxton's doing good. The doctor stopped by and assured us that everything was fine with the baby, but it was best if Paxton took the next few days to rest.
That's good the baby is okay, she replied.
Yeah, it's really good. Luckily, she'll only miss half a day of school with it being Christmas break and all. Her arms wrapped around her body.
That's true.
Making her way over to me, she smiled and grabbed a mug. She poured herself a cup of coffee and asked,
Do you want to sit on the back porch?
I shrugged. Sure, why not? After we made our way to the porch, we sat in silence for a few minutes. The sounds of nature always calmed me.
Why didn't I sit out here more often?
I made a mental note to sit out here each evening with Paxton.
Paxton move in yet?
She's going to during the break, but she's pretty much staying here all the time.
What does Chloe think about it?
I smiled. Paxton and I talked to her about it. Chloe doesn't seem to be bothered by it at all.
Things will be easier when you're married, I'm sure.
Taking a sip of coffee, I nodded.
Speaking of married, have y'all picked a date?
The sooner the better. Paxton's worried about her job. Today, her boss overheard her tell Kim she was pregnant. He told her they would talk after the break. Amelia's brows lifted.
Really? For Christ's sake, this isn't the 50s. Lots of people have kids outside of marriage.
Not kindergarten teachers in small-town Texas.
Then get married over the break. She'll have the baby in July. Sure, folks will gossip, but who gives a flying shit what people think?
I don't.
Good. Steed, when people started to find out I wrote romance books, tongues were wagging like crazy in this town. I thought Daddy was going to fly through the roof when the teller at the bank mentioned I wrote porn books. He just let them get it out of their system. No gossip in their weekly bunco groups and Wednesday church meetings, and then they move on to the next week's gossip. It's a cycle.
You're right.
Of course I am. But, besides stopping by to check on Paxton, I had an idea. Well, actually, it was Waylon's idea. I just got off the phone with her.
Oh, hell. When my two sisters got their minds together, it usually spelled trouble. Twice Amelia and Waylon had been on the verge of being tossed in jail when Amelia went to New York to visit her. Waylon's jackass husband tried to ban Waylon from seeing Amelia, and she pretty much told him to go fuck himself. Do I want to know?
Yes, I think you do. When Waylon was in town over Thanksgiving, and we all went to get our nails done, Paxton mentioned she always dreamed of a winter wedding around Christmas. The lights and holiday cheer made it the perfect time to get married.
Yes, she has mentioned that before.
Well then, okay.
I narrowed my eyes at my baby sister. Well then, what?
You'll get married on Christmas Eve.
Staring at her like she was insane, I let out a roar of laughter. Because it would be so easy to plan a wedding in, I looked at my watch, 5 days. A smile moved across her face that actually frightened me.
Do you trust me and Waylon?
Of course I do. No, wait. I held up my hand. Trust you with what?
Planning your wedding. We can surprise Paxton. Think about it, Steed. You both want to be married. Neither of you want the stress of that right now, so how perfect will it be to have it all planned out for you? That way the two of you can concentrate on the baby and Chloe and your relationship.
I leaned back in my chair and let the idea settle in some. Where would we have it?
Here, on the ranch at Mom and Dad's place. I already talked to April and David to make sure they would be okay with that. They were thrilled with the idea, and April is beyond thrilled to be helping.
That made my heart soar. Christmas Eve, you say? I asked with a grin.
Yep, I already checked the weather, and it looks to be beautiful.
Is Waylon going to fly down for it? Her smile faltered.
She was coming home for Christmas anyway. Jack had a business meeting in London he was going to, and told her it would be best if she stayed home for this trip.
Fucker, I mumbled.
Yeah, he is. That's a story for another day, Amelia added.
Leaning forward, I rested my arms on my knees. The more I thought about it, the better it sounded. Paxton would be mine. My wife. Chloe's mom. A no-stress wedding. She'd already brought up going to the Justice of the Peace and making it official, so I knew she wouldn't be upset. With a tilt of my head, I smiled at my sister.
Let's do it. Amelia set her coffee cup down and started to jump around.
Oh, my gosh, Steed. I promise you won't regret it. I swear we'll make it so special for the three of you.
Standing, I pulled my sister into my arms. I loved that she had included Chloe in that statement.
I know you will, Melly. I'm just glad the whole family will be here for Christmas.
For your wedding, too,
she whispered.
Hey, Amelia.
We both pulled away to see Paxton standing there.
Why are you up? You should be resting, I said.
She flashed me a sexy grin.
The doctor said everything was fine. I'm sure it was the stress of the situation that made me feel ill. I feel amazing and very rested.
Amelia clapped.
Then you wouldn't mind playing dress-up with me, would you?
Paxton narrowed her eyes at my sister.
Huh? I've got this dinner I have to go to, and a friend of Wayland's sent some dresses down to try on. What fun is it to try on designer gowns by yourself? I'll even bring them over here so Steed doesn't freak out.
I watched as Paxton's eyes lit up.
Oh, that would be fun, especially since I won't be able to do that in a few months.
Paxton rubbed her belly.
Great, I'll run up to the house and grab them and then be right back.
Paxton nodded.
Okay, that gives me time to grab something to eat.
That was my cue. Rushing to her, I asked, What do you want to eat, pumpkin? I'll fix it. Her blue eyes filled with tears, and I was surprised when she wrapped her arms around me.
I'm so sorry you and Chloe had to deal with that awful woman.
Hey, look at me. She did. What she dished out to you was bad. Yeah, she was curt with both of us, but she wasn't that much of a monster. I shielded Chloe from a lot. She was trying to hurt you, and she succeeded. Don't let her even cross your mind ever again. With a nod, she swallowed hard.
I hate that I let her affect me like she did. I was just so thrown off by her hate.
Anger toward Kim pulsed through my body. I fucking hated her. Hated that she had gotten to Paxton. At the same time, I was so relieved Chloe hadn't seen her. Placing my hand on the side of her cheek, I leaned in and softly kissed her. She'll never bother you or Chloe again, I swear to God. She smiled while placing her hand over mine.
I know. Thank you for reassuring me, though.
With a wink, I replied, Come on, let's get you some food.
Chapter 44 Paxton Something was going on. I caught on to it the other day when Amelia had me trying on beautiful gowns from her friend in New York. It wasn't a total loss on me that they were all white. Every single one. Different shades of white. My mother would have been in her glory. Or the fact that they were all my size. I chuckled, thinking back to Amelia commenting with, It's crazy she sent them all in your size. Amelia and I were close to the same size, but my breasts were a bit larger than hers. Chloe came running into the library. Paxton! It's Christmas Eve, and Grammy just called to tell Daddy that Cord was on his way with Aunt Waylon. She's here again! I drew Chloe into my arms and kissed her on the forehead. That is so amazing. I'm so glad she is home again. Yep, and Grammy said we're all going and getting our hair done. My smile faltered. Huh? Our hair done? She nodded. Yep, and I know a secret. A big secret. B-I-G. I can spell, you know. I grinned. Yes, I happen to know your teacher. Looking at me with a confused expression, she busted out laughing. You're so funny, but my secret is huge. Chloe held her arms out as far as she could spread them. Narrowing one eye at her, I asked, Is that so? Who is the secret about? With a giggle, she covered her mouth. You! My stomach dropped. Everything was starting to make sense. The dresses, the way Steed was so nervous this morning, the private phone call he took, where I overheard him saying he would pay twice the amount if they could make it happen on Christmas Eve. Now the hair. Grammy said you had to get your nails done, so we all had to get them done, as a way to... She looked up in thought. My
night as a way to throw you off, she said.
Oh, how I loved my little non-secret keeper. Chloe, is your daddy planning on something big happening today?
She shook her head. Oh, no, it's tonight. And after tonight, I get to call you Mommy.
Jumping off my lap, she ran out of the room before she stopped and looked back at me.
See how good of a secret keeper I am? I didn't even tell you that the big secret was you and Daddy getting married today.
And like that, she spun around and rushed out the door. I jumped up.
Married? Today?
My heart started racing, and I couldn't help the smile that spread across my face. I grabbed my phone and sent a text off to two different people.
Me. How is Chicago?
It didn't take Karina long to reply.
Karina. Chicago?
Grinning, I typed out my reply.
Me. Yes, Chicago. You did fly home yesterday, right?
She didn't answer. Karina couldn't lie. It wasn't in her DNA to lie. Not even a white lie. A fib. Nothing. She was literally incapable of lying.
Next text. Me. Merry Christmas Eve. Hey, do you and Dad want to go look at lights tonight?
My mother's reply was almost instant.
Mom. What? Lights?
I covered my mouth to keep from laughing. Ooh, this is fun.
Me.
What? It would be fun. We haven't done it in years, and I bet Chloe would love it.
Mom. Maybe we could go tomorrow or the next night. Tonight's not good for us.
Lifting my brow, I hit her number. Let's up the pressure some. Her voicemail started after two rings. Oh, my gosh. My mother sent me to voicemail.
Me. You sent me to voicemail, Mom?
Mom.
I'm in a meeting. Can't talk.
Me. What kind of meeting?
Mom. About the new town square.
I frowned. Shit. That made sense. My mother was on the committee to improve downtown Oak Springs, to get it growing even more than it was. Our little town had always been a bit of a tourist town, with the Frio River and quaint stores. Cord's popular bar proved that more could be done with the town square, and the committee wanted it to grow even more. New plans were now being laid to bring in new businesses and make it more of a tourist town. We already had people coming in for the Frio River. We just needed ways to keep them around, make them spend their money.
Me. Okay. Well, maybe I'll take one of the horses out. Steed's gone, and it's just me and Chloe. We can pack a picnic or something.
Mom.
No! Her granny has plans to take y'all to get your hair done. Didn't you hear? Waylon is in town, and you know how that girl likes to primp.
Me. I'm not in the mood for that. The phone rang, and I nearly jumped out of my skin.
Hey, Mom.
Paxton, please, do me a favor.
Okay, I replied, trying to sound normal.
Go to the hair thing with Melanie. She's really looking forward to spending time with her girls.
Mom, I know.
Well, I'm just saying, with you and Chloe now in her life and Waylon coming in, she's just happy.
No, Mom.
I know. There was silence on her end before she finally spoke.
You know what?
The wedding. Chloe spilled the beans.
She muffled the phone and said something to someone, then came back on the line.
Don't move. We're on our way over.
When I heard a dial tone, I jerked the phone from my head and peered at it. She'd hung up on me. Little did I know that an hour later, our house would be full of people I loved. People who had worked so hard to keep this a surprise, only to have an almost 6-year-old rat them out. Waylon had flown in last night, much to my surprise. Karina had never left, and had been staying at the main house, where she, Waylon, and Amelia had a sleepover last night. I wasn't going to lie. My feelings were a little bruised. I hadn't gotten to be a part of it. But Karina said it was mainly a wedding planning night. I was being primped big time. Melanie's best friend owned the hair salon and spa in town, and was buffing my nails while Amelia painted my toes. Waylon pulled and twisted my hair, while my mother and Melanie argued about the dress I should wear. Amelia had narrowed it down to the top three I had liked. "Shouldn't I be the one to pick? I mean, since I know about the wedding and all?" Amelia glanced over her shoulder. "Mom, seriously, Paxton should pick out her dress. I highly doubt Dad and David are arguing over what Steed's gonna wear." They both frowned. I had already known which one it would be. Once I started to figure out what in the world was going on, I had secretly hoped the Rene Ruiz gown had made the cut. The gowns I had tried on the other night, though, were all amazing, but that one made me feel like a princess. I also noticed the Oscar de la Renta was hanging up as well. When I took a peek at the $10,000 price tag, I laughed my ass off. But Amelia loved it. I did too, but I loved the much less pricey Rene Ruiz even more. After what seemed like hours, it was time for me to pick the dress. Walking up to the one I had picked, I smiled. "I knew you would pick the Rene Ruiz. It's classic and breathtaking on you," Amelia said with a huge grin. "Okay, everyone out except for Paxton, Karina, and Chloe." Chloe's eyes lit up like Christmas morning. "I get to stay?" "Of course you do, Chloe Cat. I need my two maids of honor to help me get dressed." You would have thought I had given her the world. I caught Melanie's stare and smiled. She returned it and mouthed, "Thank you." With a simple nod, I watched as everyone left the room. I'm getting married. Holy shit. Placing my hand over my stomach, I breathed in and out a few times to calm my nerves. It was finally happening. Taking Chloe's hand, I led her over to the window seat. "How are you feeling about today, Chloe Cat?" I asked. I told Karina I wanted a few minutes to talk to Chloe without everyone in the room. She was making herself busy as she pretended to mess with my dress.
"Me?"
"Yes, you. Today isn't just a big day for your daddy and me. It's a big day for you, too. I want to make sure you're as happy as we are." Chloe's smile grew from ear to ear.
"You know how happy you are right before Santa comes? Or the Tooth Fairy?"
With a chuckle, I nodded. "Yes."
"Well, I'm so much more happy. I've been asking God for a long time for a mommy who loved me and my daddy."
My heart ached. "I love you so much, Chloe Cat. And I love your daddy. You both make me so very happy. Don't ever forget that, okay?"
She nodded. "I won't."
I slid off the bench and knelt so I could look her in the eyes. "Is there anything you want to ask me before I marry your daddy and become your mommy?" Chloe's eyes darted over to my dress.
"Can I have your dress when you're done with it? It would be perfect to play princess in."
Laughing, I pulled her into my arms.
"Yes, consider it yours, Princess Chloe."
"Okay, let's get your mommy dressed," Karina said as she made her way over to us with the dress. My heart dropped, and my stomach started to flutter. Chloe must have noticed my nerves. She took my hand.
"Don't worry. You'll look like a princess, too. I promise."
Kissing her on the cheek, I replied, "Thank you, Chloe Cat." I dropped my robe to the ground to reveal the white lace panties and matching bra. I wouldn't need the bra, but with Chloe in the room, Karina and I thought it best not to flash her my boobs. Chloe's mouth rose into a wide smile.
"Wow, my dad's gonna be happy."
Karina and I were stunned before we lost it laughing. Karina took the embellished, strapless dress and nodded. Facing away from Chloe, who was now standing on the bed, I unclasped the bra and let it drop to the floor. Holding up my arms, Karina carefully slipped the dress over my head.
"Careful, careful!"
Chloe chanted from behind, making sure my hair was safe. That had been her self-assigned job. When the dress slipped on, Karina zipped it up, and all three of us gasped. The strapless neckline was stunning. It looked old-fashioned, yet had a modern flair as well. The color was a creamy white.
"You are stunning," Karina whispered. "You're a princess," Chloe said, with her hands over her cheeks.
Karina handed me a long box.
"This is from me,"
It's your something blue. She put on a diamond necklace that held one blue sapphire stone in the middle. My fingers moved lightly over it as I attempted not to cry. It's gorgeous. Her eyes gazed into mine. It's my grandmother's. Someday you'll be putting it on my neck when I get married. Turning to her, I drew her in for a hug. Karina, it's perfect, and it serves as my something borrowed as well. She laughed. I didn't even think about that. Yes, it does. Chloe stood in front of me. You look like a princess, she said again, as she stared up in awe. I placed my hand on the side of her sweet little face. Thank you, Chloe Cat.
This is my gift to you. It's your something new. Well, it's from me and Daddy.
My heart soared as I took the box from her and opened it to find the most beautiful diamond earrings.
Chloe, these are the most beautiful earrings I've ever seen.
She beamed.
I picked them out. Daddy said I had expensive taste.
Leaning down, I chuckled as I kissed her on the cheek. Karina opened the door, letting everyone in. My mother walked up to me and started crying.
Oh, Mama, don't cry. You'll make me cry. You look beautiful, sweetheart. Steve is going to pass out when he sees you.
You're biased, I replied with a wink. Reaching into her pocket, she pulled out a Bible and handkerchief.
I carried this down the aisle with your father. Your grandmother carried it, and your great-grandmother as well. It's your something old.
My hands shook as I took the Bible and handkerchief. At this rate, my face would be covered in my black mascara soon. She kissed me on the cheek, and then it was Melanie's turn. She tried to speak, but broke down crying. Turning, she walked over to Amelia, who pulled her into her arms.
"We better get going. It's time," Waylon said.
Everyone started to pile back out of the room, except for Karina and Chloe. Waylon grinned.
"You ready?"
I nodded. When she turned to leave, I called out for her. "Hey, Waylon." Glancing back at me, she said,
"Yeah?"
"How did y'all do this? Plan all of this so quickly?" She walked back to me and took my hands in hers.
"That day at the spa, when you said you wanted a winter wedding, we all knew we had to make it happen. I started making plans right then and there. To say I was excited y'all were back together is an understatement."
My heart skipped a beat. I was so blessed to have such amazing women in my life.
"Well, thank you. To you and Amelia for doing this. You'll never know what it means to me."
Kissing my cheek, she softly said,
"It was my pleasure. I never got to plan my own wedding, so this was fun for me."
Her eyes seemed so sad.
"I'm so sorry."
With a shrug, the sadness was gone, replaced by excitement.
"Let's do this," she cried out, as Chloe started jumping, her curls going everywhere.
She started to run out of the room when she stopped and turned back to us.
"Oh, no! I left patches tied up in Daddy's office!"
My eyes widened in shock.
"What? Chloe, why is your pet goat tied up?"
"In your Daddy's office," Waylon added. Placing her hands on her hips, her little head tilted, she looked at us like we were idiots.
"He's walking me down the aisle!"
I couldn't help but laugh. Glancing over to a still stunned Waylon, I said, "We better get one of the guys to go get patches." She faced me, her jaw dropped open.
"You want the goat in the wedding?"
Peeking over to Chloe, I smiled and answered, "Of course. He's a part of the family."
Chapter 45. Steed. I stood under the arch and waited not so patiently for Paxton to appear. My parents and Paxton's had gone all out for this quickly pulled together wedding. It appeared like it had been months in the making. Everything was beautiful. The flowers, the cake. It was everything I could see Paxton picking out. I was glad we had decided to keep it to close family and friends only. It made things easier when it came to planning. Cord stood next to me. He was my best man and the one who won the straw drawing. Having four other brothers is hard when it comes time to pick a best man. Chloe had come up with the whole drawing straws idea, and my brothers loved the idea. Damn kids at heart, all four of them. The music started playing, and I first saw my sweet little Chloe. Then Patches. What in the hell? She wore a huge smile as she skipped down the aisle while Patches trotted next to her. I couldn't help but laugh. The damn goat was in our wedding. We were never going to get Chloe to fall asleep tonight with all this excitement on top of it being Christmas Eve.
Damn, Steed. She almost makes me want to have a kid,
Court said with a chuckle. I glanced over to him. A kid, huh? He frowned.
I said almost. The goat isn't helping.
Corina came next. I peeked over to Tripp. He was smiling, but one look at Mitchell and I knew which one of them was more captivated by her. Mitchell. The way he stared was a far cry from the way Tripp looked at Corina. I looked back, holding my breath, as I stared at the back door. When the wedding march started and everyone stood, I slowly exhaled, only to have my breath taken again when Paxton walked through the door with her father. I heard gasps from the small group of friends and family.
"She's beautiful," I whispered as a smile spread over my face.
The simple cream-colored gown hugged her body, and I couldn't help but let my eyes roam. They lingered a little more on her stomach before I dragged them back up and her blue eyes caught mine. I shook my head slowly. I wanted to pinch myself. Holy shit. She was mine. She was finally mine. As Paxton and I walked around and talked to the guests, I could tell she was getting tired. So was Chloe, who had stuck to our side like glue. She'd already started calling Paxton Mommy, and every time she did, Paxton's face lit up. Thank God it was mostly family, plus some friends from each side and a few of my father's closest business partners. Other than that, it had been a small wedding and reception. We had made it around to everyone in no time at all. Somehow Amelia had found someone who was willing to make a wedding cake last minute. It was decorated in white and soft blue, the same blue as Chloe and Corina's dresses. Don't ask me how they pulled that shit off. Paxton leaned against me and sighed. You tired? I asked.
A little, she said, then yawned.
We cut the cake. We said hello and thanks for coming. I think it's time to leave. Besides, look at Chloe. Her eyes swung over to our daughter and she laughed. Chloe was sitting at a table, her head perched up with her hands sound asleep.
That poor little thing. We promised her a movie, too. We should probably start making our way out of here.
I nodded in agreement. Let's find our parents and let them know we're ready to go. Paxton laced her fingers with mine while we searched for our folks. They were sitting inside talking to some old friends. Mom, Dad, I think we're going to take off. Paxton is tired and poor little Chloe is passed out. They all stood. Each of them took turns kissing us on the cheeks and congratulating us.
We'll make the announcement that y'all are leaving. Plans for a honeymoon?
Karen Allwright, one of my parents' friends, asked while taking a sip of wine. Not right now. We're going to go to Ireland during spring break.
Ireland?
She asked with lifted brows. Yes, Paxton's always wanted to go there, so that's where we are heading. Tonight we're taking our daughter home and watching Miracle on 34th Street.
How wonderful,
Karen said. 45 minutes later, we were finally leaving. Chloe was asleep in my arms as we walked past everyone cheering out Mr. and Mrs. Parker. I gently put my sleeping beauty in the back seat of my truck, helped my beautiful wife in, and tucked her dress safely inside. A quick wave to everyone, and I jumped into the truck and headed to our place on the other side of the ranch. Paxton dropped her head back.
As much as I loved our wedding, I would have been just as happy eloping. I'm exhausted, and I didn't even plan anything.
I laughed. We were soon back at the house, changed and sitting on the sofa eating popcorn and watching the movie Paxton said we had to make a family tradition each Christmas Eve. I couldn't believe how fucking happy I was. As much as I wanted to sink myself into my wife and stay lost in her all night, this felt perfect. Chloe sat in the middle, entranced with the movie. She had asked earlier if Paxton was going to sleep in my room with me, and a part of me was bothered we had been lying to her. We told her yes, and she smiled big and stated that we were now officially a real family. I didn't want to ask why she felt like Paxton sleeping in the same room meant we were a family. I was going to ignore it.